Hi, this is Chris Crocker, and when I'm not busy doing video blogs or making sex tapes, I like to listen to the Feast of Fools podcast. Woo!
The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic, fabulous, fierce listeners just like you.
We really couldn't do this show without your support, so please visit feastoffools.net and make a donation, buy a t-shirt, get a mug today.
Your financial contributions mean the world to us.
Thank you for your support.
And the Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Babs.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión, Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that special discount. And remember,
play hard, play smart.
It's your broken beer bottle in the bar fight against homophobia. It's the Feast of Fools. On today's show, we're talking to video blogger and YouTube celebrity Chris Crocker, well known for his passionate and eccentric video of himself crying, asking the world to leave Britney alone.
The video propelled him into the center of the debate on how the media deals with celebrities and our own struggle with embracing effeminate gay men.
Listen as we talk with Chris about where he thinks all this is taking him.
Plus, your questions.
How he feels about being attacked and parodied.
Dealing with the vicious hate online and in real life.
And are straight people mythological creatures just like unicorns? Are they? Find out on today's Feast of Fools. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is the song Blind from Hercules and Love Affair. You can find out more about their music through our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
Hey, Chris, it's Fausto.
Hey, girl.
And Mark from the Feast of Fools podcast. How are you doing today?
I just woke up, but I'm doing good.
late night for you?
Uh-huh.
Are you in a good mental space to do this interview?
You know, it doesn't matter regardless, because I like to look back and listen to how fucked up I sounded. So.
Are you lying in bed in a little negligee?
Kind of, you know, I like interviews when I sound fucked up because it's good for documentation purposes.
So when they try to commit you to an insane asylum, they've got proof?
Right, you know.
So, Chris, what got you started video blogging 2 years ago?
Basically, it was all an accident. I posted a video on MySpace, not YouTube first, but MySpace, where it all began. And it was me confronting people in my hometown saying, you know what, I'm being harassed a lot at the mall, but no one, you know, like, if you want to fight, let's go.
And why did you feel like posting a video online was an effective way of confronting these people who probably may not have seen that video?
Well, I didn't even think it was going to be effective. I didn't think much about it, really. It was just me sitting on my couch because all these people were you know, shit-talking me at the mall, but I got fed up with them. So, you know, I knew they all visited my MySpace and lurked it, so I was like, okay, I'll upload a video telling them if they want to fight, let's go. And that's what I did, and I got, like, millions of hits within just...
Did you name names on it?
No, I didn't name names. And I think that's why it worked, because it was such a general thing. Like, a lot of people could relate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you really are a Britney Spears fan. For a lot of people who may not know who Chris Crocker is, although most people know. I've been telling people we're doing the interview with you, and I say, it's a leave Britney alone guy. And the first question they come out of, is he for real? But you really are a Britney Spears fan. You really like Britney Spears.
I really am a Britney Spears fan. You know, just like I really am fascinating. And just like I really am, you know, a boy. It's just, it's kind of a minuscule part of my life.
Why do you think the media just picked up on that so much? Was it because Britney wasn't putting out the info, so they had to use you as a substitute? I mean, why do you think that really resonated with people to leave Britney alone?
You know, I don't know how to answer that. I know what's easier to answer for me is that they would never publicize any of my other videos, and this is the one video that was kind of easier for them to publicize because they had something to attach it to, which was Britney, who was already established. Mm-hmm. So never would they ever have, you know, an aggressive, you know, articulate homosexual like myself be seen as, you know, defied.
You've been video blogging for at least a good year before this event happened. And people, like, think that you're so smart and so clever and witty that they think that you're kind of like Lonely Girl 15, like a plant. But you really are a person. At the time, you were living in a small town in Tennessee, and in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, we're talking, like, 30,000 people. But, I mean, video blogging is something I think, if I didn't do it, I don't know what I would do. Because, you know, I don't drive, I didn't work at the time. I was just putting all of my energy into videos.
Weren't you lucky you even had a computer to do this? I mean...
I was. I had to, like, convince my grandparents, who are Pentecostal, that, you know, the computer wasn't of the devil, that I could have it in the house. But, you know, then when I came out of the closet at 14... the natural thing for them to do is to blame my sexuality on the computer. So,
really? Do they sit you down and say you're gay because you have a computer?
Yeah, basically. They told me, I mean, I guess in their minds, because I had more access to, I guess, other gay people and whatnot, that the computer turned me gay.
Well, isn't that in a sense true? I mean, that it gives us courage as gay people to stand on our own two feet because we see other people doing it?
True, but I think, you know, me finding people to socialize on the internet is a little different from it turning me gay, because...
Well, obviously, yeah. But it gives you the courage
it's really
to come out.
It's a tool for young people to definitely come out these days, which other people didn't have, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So,
exactly. I mean, Chris, it's so hard for people, like, in their 30s and 40s to wrap their minds on what it's like to be a gay teenager in, you know, today, coming out... You know, where sort of we have Ellen, we have Will and Grace, we have all this, like, media personalities, and yet for you coming out of the closet still was something very challenging. And you were said in an interview that you were chased by gangs of boys at the mall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, it still hasn't really let up as far as the discrimination in my hometown. I mean, that's something that I don't see that happening. Like, I don't foresee that at all, because... It's like when I fly back here from L.A., I'm in Tennessee right now, actually, but when I fly back from L.A., it's crazy going from this place to this place in one day, because it's like flying back in time. They really are so behind that I don't ever anticipate that they'll catch up. I mean,
what happens when you're like out on the street? Do people recognize you and say, oh, my God, it's Chris Crocker, the Leave Britney Alone guy?
Every day.
And what's the reaction, what are some typical reactions?
It's interesting, because obviously all the people coming up to you love you, but you'll then see people on the side who aren't coming up to you, but you can just see it. Like, they're pissed off that people like you and are saying hi to you, you know? And, like, when the paparazzi follow me on Robertson Boulevard or what have you,
You have paparazzi in your small town?
No, like in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like thinking.
I was like, wait a second.
Do paparazzi even exist outside of Los Angeles?
No.
New York
and LA. I mean, it's like it's kind of like it's a sort of phenomena that happens in those two cities. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, but what I was going to say is that, you know, the paparazzi kind of, they make people stop and look who's being followed, and then you'll see these people with their smirks on their faces, like, oh, why are they following him, you know? So, it's interesting.
And then your grandmother pulled you out of high school and homeschooled you.
Well, I had to kind of convince her to do that. It wasn't really her idea. She didn't want me to. She was like, you're running from the bullies, you know? And I was just like, dude, you don't understand. Like, she's someone who, even though she's a Pentecostal and she's a Christian, she's very much so a believer in standing up for yourself. And that's something, whether you're Christian or not, she, you know, she believes in that. So I always tried to tell her, like, I obviously stand up for myself, but physically, I mean, I'm not capable of defending myself to someone that's like 6 feet tall.
And typically,
you know, I'm not delusional.
Right. And a lot of these people, they roam in gangs too. So it's not, you're not just fighting one person. It's typically a group of people.
Right. And I'm not ashamed to say that I can't defend myself physically to a giant. I'm just not. So.
Yeah. If I was in a fight with you, I'd be a little worried. I would.
Yeah.
You know, because you look like you're the kind of crazy bitch who will do anything.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you claw your eyes out.
My side.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to stand up for Britney Spears and not another tragic female celebrity that you might have been a fan of?
Well, for me, Britney, although, you know, she's been in a picture or two with them, she's on a completely different level from them. She is someone that I just gravitated towards. We're both Sagittarians. I just relate with her, you know, ever since fifth grade. I've genuinely just, she's kind of like, I don't know, it sounds cheesy, but like she's like a ray of light to me. She's very bubbly. She, you know, she's not the most artistic person. I'm not delusional.
But she's, you know, for a while, she was very like conservative and Christian and almost like she was for the war in Iraq. Did you know that?
Yeah, and I think for a while, you know, her handlers had say over what she said. I mean, you know what I mean? I think Britney clearly is a liberal person at heart. So,
really?
Yeah, I think so. Now, I mean,
have you had any contact with her? Did she like see the video and be like, "Well, thank you, Chris, for coming to my honor"?
Well, you know, in the beginning, I wouldn't tell people. I just make them wonder. So, but now I just tell the truth. I haven't spoken with her directly, but I know lots of people that know her, and. Mm-hmm. None of them want me to talk to her. So,
what do you mean they don't want you to talk to her?
They don't want me to talk to her. Like, I know.
Like it'll ruin the spell or something, or?
Exactly. Like they have this spell over her. They want her to be sick, basically. And
interesting.
They don't want anyone around her who will wake her up, you know, or that cares about her. So
now you
like
talk
because like they try to get Dr. Phil involved in the whole situation, you know.
Well, I don't really like Dr. Phil, but you know, it's true. Like anyone, I don't know. It's almost like they don't want her to be woken up from this spell. So
you want to say a wake up call to Britney? If you're out there, Britney.
Well, do you think that maybe sort of our fascination with a lot of these tragic celebrities is because we feel like we can handle the sad, depressing things of our lives by sort of living vicariously through their suffering?
Yeah, I mean, no one really likes celebrities when everything's going good for them. And they all start pulling for them, I think, when everything goes bad. But for me, I've loved her from day one, so.
Well, do you think that's part of the reason why some people, like, are hating on you because you're a successful gay video blogger?
Possibly, but it's a little different now because, I mean,
because
you know,
I feel like when I see those hateful videos, Chris, I want to make my own video and say, "Leave Chris Crocker alone." Do you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Well, where do you think the hate comes from?
I don't know. It's like it just rises from the ground or something. You know, it's like I think we have a lot of people who have really bad parents in this world or something. Like I don't know because I don't know where it comes from. Again, I have no idea where it comes from. You know, I've never been so hateful.
Well, I'm sure you've talked to some of these people face to face. What do you say to them when they come up to you at the mall or on the street and say, Chris Crocker, you're a superficial asshole. I hate you.
They never really say that. They're more like, go die or something like that. You know, it's always something really ridiculous. But it depends on the person, you know. I really don't like to get worked up. So,
Now, you talk about a lot of different types of topics, not just Britney Spears, which I thought were kind of compelling. Let's talk about taboo words on the internet and the N-word specifically.
Okay.
What made you want to, like, talk about that?
Well, it's funny because I had used the word or the substitute to the word, kind of the gangsta way of saying it, in an early video of mine. And, you know, I sort of said that because I did comedy for a little bit in my skits and stuff, that I had that comedic leeway or freedom to do that. But, because I was portraying a stereotype. But I don't like people that are just so oblivious to how offensive the word is. I mean, clearly.
Are you saying that African Americans have a double standard when it comes to taboo words and racial slurs that gay people don't have when it comes to slur words used against gay people?
I don't really like saying the F word, so I don't really see why black people would like to say the N word. But I think it's a very, it depends on the individual. I don't see why they'd want to say it, but.
And so you were criticizing Monique, or who was it? The person
it was Monique. You said, right?
It was Monique that you said.
Yeah.
Who's also a Sagittarius?
It's interesting. You learn about all the astrological signs of the people that you're involved with.
I know everybody's sign, honey, and I can I swear to God, I don't remember names. I kind of remember faces, but I can remember everybody's sign.
Why is that important to you, though?
It's totally important to me. It's what makes the world go round, at least my world.
But, so. I mean, why, though?
Because I've just invested so much in it, and it's never failed me. I mean, I'm really good at it. So when I'm really tapped into it, I can be around someone for less than 5 minutes and at least tell them their element. So.
Have you considered sort of like doing a video series of you reading people astrological charts? Like Walter Mercado?
I totally have. But
do you know Walter Mercado?
Do you know who Walter Mercado is?
I don't.
He's the premier psychic astrologer from Puerto Rico.
From all of Latin America.
All of Latin America. And he has a hugely popular television little nugget that he does in the evening news. And he kind of looks like a drag queen sitting on his throne. And he just spews out these little nuggets to every astrological sign.
But he's always in, not only the throne, but he's also in usually very romantic settings, you know, and wearing capes and very Liberace kind
of. He's kind of like Puerto Rican Liberace. And I kind of see you as the sort of the the Liberace or the Walter Mercado for the young generation.
And though, I don't know much about horoscopes, but I'm an Aquarius, so I know we'd be good in bed together. Is that not true?
So you're an Aquarius?
Yes. Don't they say that Aquarians and Sagittarians have
a hot time
in bed?
And so one's an Aries, one's an Aquarius. That's cool because you're both my... Okay.
Notice that he remembers my astrological sign.
I heard you say it the other day when you were talking to him on the phone. You're like, Aries.
You know that you're both my most compatible signs. Like, it's an order of, like, three, and, like, you're both within the top two.
Wow.
I think we need to go visit you in Los Angeles and have some quality time. Have one of those hot tub power meetings.
Right?
I have Sagittarius rising, too.
And maybe we'll invite over B. Scott or something.
That'd be
wonderful. We'll drink some shut your mouth cocktails.
Everybody that's on YouTube.
Right.
Everybody every gay person online to the hot dub party.
Well, it may turn from like sex to cat fights because I don't know.
Well, is there a lot of like
rivalry?
Who are you fighting with? don't say their names, obviously.
Why are you fighting with Perez? What's your beef with Perez?
I'm fighting with Perez because recently, I don't want to go into too much detail, but recently I found out some things. I'm friends with the producer of his show. We share the same production company. World of Wonder. And I catch wind of things that have been said. And, you know, you think that his producer's loyalty lies to him, which it does, but... one night his producer was drunk and he just spilled all these beans to me. And I don't know if you guys heard in the press when I was being sued for $1 million or not, but that was Perez doing that, from what I was
told. A jeweler was suing you, was that right?
Yeah, it was okay. A jeweler.
Has that been settled?
Who I'm not even going to...
No, don't give him a plug.
Oh, God, but, anyway. But that's been settled, but... What I come to find out, his producer told me. So just to make it clear, I'm not on here, you know, slandering. What I was told from his producer, or whatever, was that he set it up, that he gave this kid a lawyer, he appointed him to a lawyer, and put it in the press. Like, you know, websites he's affiliated with, like TMZ, so... Because of that, and because he's told, I mean, paparazzi will pull me aside and be like, Chris, Perez is telling our websites not to post about you. And he wants to be the only gay guy to, you know, go from the internet to mainstream. And it's kind of like, you know, he wants to, I don't know, it's way too competitive for me. We don't even do the same thing.
So he's trying to get you blacklisted, is what you're saying.
But I will say we used to be on good terms. We used to talk before the Britney video. He would post about me on his website and post nice things. He did a couple times.
Well, do you think that some people's like interest in you isn't genuine because they just want to sort of like bask in your celebrity?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Well, it must get you laid, right?
Well, that's whenever it's okay. I mean,
because you're pretty cute, you're smart, you're successful, you live in Los Angeles, and you've had a couple cute boyfriends in the past. One of them, like, you even have a photograph or you did a video with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when you go on a date with a guy, like, do they feel like they're going to be sort of like put up on your videos, or is there like any uncomfortableness?
Or, like, they suggest that we, you know, go in paparazzi spots and get pictured together or something, which is fine with me, you know, like...
I want to see you and B. Scott date each other, though.
I think you guys are sisters, though, more than anything.
But I wanted to see them, like, they were kissing. I want to see them kiss.
The truth.
What?
I had suggested to him, I think, like, if my memory serves me correctly, that we fuck. And he wasn't really receptive to that, so you'll have to ask him.
Oh! Ooh,
the dirt comes out.
Wow.
Now, you say no one is straight. That there's straight people are fictitious creatures. Mm-hmm.
Mythical little beasts.
Yeah. What was the word I used? I don't believe them.
Mythical creatures, mythical I think, right?
I love mythological mm-hmm. creatures.
Unicorns and snuffleupaguses.
That's what they are to me. They're mythological creatures. I mean, seriously, gay people go back to the beginning of time. Get real.
Well, so if straight people aren't real, are gay people not real either?
I don't believe in them, and you can take that however you want. I do not believe in straight people.
But, I mean, do you believe in gay people? Or bisexuals or lesbians?
I do and I don't. You know, I don't. When I say I don't believe in them, that's me saying I don't believe in them. I don't have faith in them. Like, you know.
You can't count on them?
So
right, exactly. I don't count on them. Like, whatever. The only person I really believe in is me. I only exist.
Well, I mean, does it sometimes feel like a bit lonely making all these videos? Because you're like, by this, you know, if you were, say, on a television program... You'd have a crew, you have a producer, you have people that you deal with and interact with, but mostly your day-to-day existence is a very solitary life.
Very much so.
And do you feel lonely at times when you don't want to be?
I do feel lonely, but I don't really... I mean, I think that I use my way of connecting with people to feel a little less lonely. I mean, that's why I make videos about things everyone can relate to, because it brings us all together. I mean, you know, that's my way of, like, not feeling so lonely.
Why do you think people think that you're not a real person, that you're some fictitious individual manufactured by a company for publicity?
You know, what I'll say is that, I mean, if people don't really take the time to, I guess, get the concept of what I'm doing, I might not like me either, you know, from like first glance or something. But I don't know. I think I'm not for everybody. you know, but I do kind of go out of my way to be a little outrageous in public at times, and people misconstrue that. But it's my opportunity to get my press, and it's my opportunity to do my thing. And
because, you know, you're aware of this sort of obvious criticism about you. It's like that because of your visibility.
I have no idea what
you're talking about. Well, that you're such a visible gay person. And because you're sort of not, you're seen as effeminate or seen as sort of a...
Or a stereotypical, you know, Nelly Queen.
Why
or
is that? Okay, let's talk about this.
And we're like the same. I feel like I'm just as Nelly as you are. And I'm like, and so
only
I don't know
bed,
what...
Only in bed, sweetie. Only in bed.
Thanks. But do you feel like people are holding you up to an unrealistic standard?
Here's what I want to know. There are other gay people in the spotlight doing bigger things than I am. I mean, let's be real. Actors, what have you. But yet, I'm the one that's being held responsible. I mean, I get gay people, not just straight people, gay people writing to me telling me I'm the reason people get gay bashed. I'm this, I'm that. I'm
Chris Crocker, if Chris Crocker did not exist, gay bashing would not exist.
Right, basically. And I'm just saying, when I was in kindergarten, I was getting shit. You know, like, this isn't some mask I put on. This isn't me living up to anything. So ever since I can remember, I've been gay bashed. And so, I mean, like, I don't get it.
You're ruining it for the rest of us.
Is that the mentality that these people have?
Basically, yes.
Because you're so eccentric and colorful.
Yeah, but I think what a lot of the things that make people tick that I do or say are all comedy-driven. I mean, like, almost everything, like, I've done in public, I did the crotch shot, whatever. All the ridiculous things I do, I see it like this. I've been seen as a joke from the beginning of my, you know, mainstream media coverage. So why not be a joke that I can find funny? I do things now that I find funny. I mean, I wanted to be the first guy ever to give a crotch shot, and now I am.
So you're laughing at the things you're doing, but
I mean,
some people
are
just not—they're not getting the joke, or this is making
them
angry.
The joke, exactly, and that's what kills me. It's like, even if you don't get the joke, why are you so angered?
Why? Why do you think it is that, you know, why do you think it is that American society is like that, where that if you are flamboyant or if you're, you know, a feminine gay person, that you're vilified and hated?
Like you're a Disney
Why is that
villain.
So important? Why is it so important to be a masculine gay man?
I think it goes to that Madonna song, you know, what it feels like for a girl in the beginning where that little robot bitch says,
What is that?
What is it she says? She's all like, girls can dress up as guys and they don't get shit, but girls dress up as guys and they're hated because you think it's wrong to be a girl. You know? It's like women get shit. You know, look at Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's gay guys. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like America as a whole has to have a group of people to take their anger out on. Or, you know.
So who do you take your anger out on?
The people I love.
B. Scott and me.
Your poor grandma.
Your poor grandma.
You know? Yeah, it's true.
Because I've seen some of the videos, and I actually thought those were really funny, of you sort of arguing with your grandmother.
I was... Yeah.
And but you had to pull those down because she got kicked out of her church.
Yeah, my grandparents. It's funny to me, but it's sad when you really think about it. I mean, I don't believe in anything religious, but my grandparents, yeah, they were kicked out of church, and I think that's really wrong.
Are they allowed back in, or they're permanently kicked out?
They're going to a new church. What had happened was the youth group or whatever had saw me on the cover of the newspaper and were kind of, you know, royally freaked out by it. So they did their research and Googled me and made up a lie to the pastor of the church saying they were being harassed because they went to the same church as my grandparents, which is, to me, the most, like, obvious lie ever. I mean, my grandparents aren't really in the media. So I'm just like, what the fuck? I don't talk about the church in the media. Like, I've never named the church, you know what I mean? So... And the only reason I'm talking about it now is because they
kicked them out.
For my grandparents. Yeah. I mean, so
did they just show up at the door and say, you're not welcome here at our church anymore?
Well, it it was like they pulled my grandfather aside, my poor grandfather. Like, he is the most, like, live-by-the-Bible man ever. I live with him. I know everything about him. But yet, that's who he is. He lives by the Bible. And so, I mean, I felt really bad. He was crying. He was like, what have you done on the internet? You know? And I'm like, dude, they're crazy. I was like, what did... I'm like, what did they tell you? And we eventually came to find out that they just made up lies. The younger people in the church made up lies to get my grandparents kicked out.
So now it's...
And in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, are they trying to piss me off so much that I will speak about them in public?
They probably do.
You know what I mean? Are they trying to press my buttons on such a personal level to get to me that they want me to speak about their church so they can gain some publicity? Or what is it? I mean...
Now, when you were a teenager in high school, you unsuccessfully tried to start a gay-straight alliance.
I did. No, I wasn't in high school because I didn't go to high school, mind you. I was homeschooled, which I never finished. But...
Get that GED, girl.
Get the GED, honey.
I don't want that GED. You can have all that. But in seventh grade, yeah, that's when I tried to start a gay-straight alliance.
I don't think Britney Spears has a GED either.
I'm sure she did. Yeah, maybe. Disney made her do it.
Disney made her. Maybe if you got signed up with Disney. Now, I mean, so you...
I just think that school is the most corrupt thing, but we'll get to that at some point. Anyway, but yeah, I tried to start a gay-straight alliance. So it didn't work.
Well, do you feel like your YouTube videos are sort of the gay-straight alliance now that you never had?
Possibly. I mean, but it was crazy. Like, I was so, like, saturated, and I wanted it so bad. Like, I did all my research. I was like, okay, if you can have a Bible study, you can have a gay-straight alliance because it's, what's the word? Whatever, like, not real schoolwork. What is the word?
It's like a club or something. I don't know what. I don't know.
Organization.
What the term is. It's an organization or something.
Whatever.
Non-school.
So it's like legally they can't refuse it if there's already something that's not like.
Like if there's a Bible club or there's a chess club or something like that, right?
Yeah. So and they refused it, and I was mortified. And obviously, I couldn't sue the school because my grandparents weren't behind me,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing this behind my grandparents' back.
And you were in seventh grade.
I was in seventh grade. So the school counselor called my grandparents, and they're like, "Do you know what your grandson's trying to do at our school?" And you know, so that was the exact time that I came out of the closet. You know, and like my grandparents. Like, put me in therapy, and it was a mess. Like, so, because what it was, what really fueled my fire, I met the love of my life on the internet. So, in a way, they were kind of right. The internet didn't turn me gay, but it definitely helped me reach gay people. And I met my boyfriend in New York, who I was with for 4 years.
But over the internet?
But just over the phone. Like, it was crazy.
It was like a romantic relationship you guys had long distance.
It was Romeo and Juliet, honey, in seventh grade because they wanted to cut off my internet. They thought that was, like, the devil. They, would listen to my phone conversations. I didn't have a cell phone. I was like, okay, here it got to this point. It was so bad in seventh grade that I wanted to talk to my boyfriend who lived in New York that... I mean, we were the same age and everything, like, totally. He didn't go to school. He was about to be homeschooled, whatever. So we were on the same page. We needed each other at that time. Okay, so it was this bad. I talked to sugar daddies just to get phone cards to call my boyfriend. Like, I would, in seventh grade, have phone sex with sugar daddies just to get the phone card to call my boyfriend.
And your grandmother caught you?
Yes, like, okay, the phone card, you know, like, the long distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like, I would do anything just to talk to him, like...
Are you still in contact with him?
And he would, like, steal from his parents, like, money to call me, and it was seriously, our families did not want
us. Oh, how romantic.
And so, what does he think about your success today? Is he happy?
I haven't talked to him in so long, like... I still love him to death because, like, it was the most, like, intricate relationship, but it really forced me to not only come out, but to, like, not care and to fight for it. Like, I wasn't only coming out, I was in love at the time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, and you wanted to, when you fall in love, you feel stronger.
Exactly.
And you want to share
it. That's maybe why I'm so prideful, because I came out in love, and I came out not caring because I had something so special.
So maybe we have to thank your boyfriend for your visibility and for your strength, in a sense.
Yes.
Do you ever think about, like, finding him again, or?
No, totally. Like, do you understand, like, I'm still in love with him, like.
Do you know where he is, or?
He's in New York.
I'm sure somebody's turned and has said, hey, your ex-boyfriend is now Chris Crocker, and he's on television.
Well, did he ever see you, though?
It ended really awkwardly, like,
Well, he's probably listening to this right now, Chris. What would you say to him right now?
What would I say to him? Everything sweet I ever said to you, I meant. Everything awful I ever said, I didn't mean. I mean, we had so many fights, like, it wasn't even funny. I'm a difficult person to date, and I realized that. But, you know, my first relationship, are you kidding? I was manipulative. I was, like, all over the place.
You faked pregnancies, I'm sure. It was like, you know, you stole babies. You were, like, you know.
I'm all knocked up.
I did everything I had to do to make this boy crawl on glass and to care about me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I wanted him to love me as much as I loved him.
But he's the same age as you are, which is 20 years old. You're 20?
Yeah.
21. 20.
Yeah.
Soon to be soon old enough to drink.
Oh, he'll be 21 in May, so.
May 25th. So every time his birthday rolls around, I, like, kind of.
Do if he writes in to us, do you want us to forward the email to you? And
of course. Are you kidding? But then you'll probably have people, like,
fakers.
Right.
Well, we'll know his name.
I am Chris Crocker's baby's daddy.
Well, afterwards you can say that. You can tell us what his name is.
You can do a code word.
Okay, I'll tell you his name afterwards.
And then we'll know if it's him
okay,
or not.
So where do you think this is all going to take you? I mean, where do you ultimately want to be?
Well, you know, every year's different. Like, this time last year, literally, I was doing a story for Dan Savage. I don't know if you know who he is. Mm-hmm. His newspaper, or not newspaper. It's like this really cool indie, like my
The Stranger
article. The Stranger, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's he does sex ed or sex advice.
Yeah,
yeah, but he's a columnist. He's not a fit. He's not the one who wrote the article. It has nothing to do with it. But he works for the same company.
So Eli Sanders.
Eli wrote a beautiful article about you.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. It was my first article, first interview, first anything. My grandparents were freaked out. So this time last year, I was being interviewed for the first time, and the only video I was known for, because keep in mind, I had viral videos way back when, girl.
And the article was Escape from Bitch Island.
And in a sense,
you did escape.
From a video I did. I did a video referring to this place. Mm-hmm. My theory was that I was on a real bitch island in my room, and that everything surrounding me in my hometown was, you know, fake. So, anyway, so that was my first article or whatever with him, and then we thought nothing would ever happen, and then the Britney video happened, you know, months after that. So, who knows what'll happen? I don't know. I may end up on the street somewhere, but, you know.
You'll make a beautiful homeless person in Los Angeles.
Well, didn't you have a TV show
or
in the
a great or you know another? You're going to release your own album too.
Well, I'm working on an EP for iTunes. Yes, right now.
So eventually, one day, some young kid is going to put out their own video saying "Leave Chris Crocker alone."
Well, they already have, you know.
What is your favorite parody? What or imitation?
Seth Green's.
Seth Green got it right.
Oh my God, Seth Green's was great. Like,
well, isn't he a little bit gay?
That was a high point for me.
I mean, he
was that Robo Chicken?
So, Robo Chicken, the creator of Robo Chicken and star of Austin Powers.
Because, I don't know, Seth Green, if you're listening, I watched Party Monster for like a year straight, just in my room. Like, I loved it. So when he did that, that was a high point for me. I was very honored by that. I couldn't believe it. So thank you, Seth.
Oh, thank you. And you would give him a blowjob, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
As a way of thanking him.
Okay.
Well, when you're back in LA, just stop by the Robo Chicken studio and, you know, knock
just be
on
like,
door.
It's me, Chris Crocker. Because you pretty much can go anywhere. Doors. You can walk up to a television studio and be like, it's me. And they're all like, oh my God.
Well, aren't you planning on making a TV show too? Didn't you have something? You have something in the works?
God. Okay. Well, the deal on that is like, I don't even. Like, really care. It's not an ambition anymore. just because I saw how fake reality TV not was while filming it, but I just saw, like, the editing. Like, mm-hmm. like I was never told to say anything, but when my pilot was edited, it was so watered down and just, like, all the funny moments weren't there. So
you made a pilot.
Yeah, I have it on DVD.
And, okay. the unnamed, heartless, corporate, giant cable company, cable channel, screwed you. Because they try to control what you were trying to do and ways.
Well, here's the deal. Obviously, it's a network. Obviously, I know I'm going to have to adhere or take whatever. I know I'm not going to be able to curse, you know, on television, but
it's cable. You can they curse on Robot Chicken. You can curse on your own show.
My beef, though, was that in the contract that they proposed to me, they wanted a website first, a TV show second. That was iffy anyway, but in the website, they wanted me not to curse in my videos, and I'm like, dude, I censored Chris Cocker. My audience would see through it in about 3.1 seconds. I mean, get real.
So they felt like they knew why you were successful more than you did.
The only reason I have an appeal is because I really tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the truth. So, I mean,
because you're not holding back.
Because, yeah, if I can't speak in an unfiltered manner, it's not going to appeal to people. It's not going to work. So what I did was they sent me the contract in an email form, and literally I was, like, laughing my ass off on the ground. I made that video, like, telling them no and explaining to everyone. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I did.
So I made that video telling them no to the contract on YouTube, and it has, like, 1 million views now. And I replied to that contract with that video, the link to it. So everyone in the office was watching that. So
so you'll never work with them again.
You know, there are worse things that can happen. What they're going to do is they're going to find some blonde kid and call him Liz Locker and start their own video series that nobody wants to listen. And then they'll say, see, video blogging is dead on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar?
It doesn't work.
Okay, so we got some questions here from our listeners through our website, feastoffools.net. Cray from Columbus, Ohio. Chris Crocker, I love you, but I'd like to know if you realize that you're an incredible gender theorist and brilliant philosopher. This is where you say thank you.
Yeah, no, I've heard that before.
We talk about you all the time in my gender theory classes. You stand for the individuality and gender self-expression that is so important for queer kids and everyone today. How do you deal with the violent rhetoric that so many people spew on your YouTube channel and comment sections? I see some of these videos, and these people are actually violent. They are angry and malicious towards you. Do you feel threatened?
You know, I could just respond really humorously, which is what I do most of the time. I don't really take it serious because it's so ridiculous. But, I've had to go as far as not to reveal my actual location. I've turned down major interviews just because they wanted me to say my real name or my real location. Like, major interviews. Because they wanted that. And I just
They wanted your hometown and they wanted your name.
It's such a safety concern that there's no way. Like, are you kidding?
Well, if somebody really wants to find out where you live and what your real name is, they can. But they want you to be a control thing.
It's almost like the people at power want me to be killed or something. Like, they want, after that interview, some kind of crazy...
It makes a good story, doesn't it?
That's what they want. I'm like, are you kidding? You're not setting up my... you know, murder.
Destruction.
So you do too.
I've really had to be extra cautious, I'll just say that, you know.
So you do feel threatened.
Of course. I know that there's maniacs out there that are crazier than me, and, you know, like...
But Mark, share with Chris what you think about stalkers and haters.
Well, the thing with haters, I don't know. That's a whole different thing.
But stalkers.
But stalkers is one thing. So I don't know if you have stalkers, people that are following you and stuff like that. The best way to get rid of stalkers is because stalkers are essentially lazy people, and they just want to take all their bullshit and put it on you, right? But if you get a stalker, put them to work. Ask them to do favors for you and work for you and stuff like that. They will hightail it, and you will never see them again. Because they're lazy.
Wise words, Chris.
Wise words. Put stalkers to work. So a tall guy from New Brunswick, Canada says, I was a subscriber to Chris's videos, great videos, long before the Leave Britney Alone video came along. He was real, motivated to entertain, and very approachable. Now that he's had all this exposure, does he still feel motivated to share as much about his life as he used to? And does he still feel he's approachable by the average video viewer like me?
I get that one a lot. Well, I mean, you have to think about it. Obviously, I'm a little fearful to be as open as I used to be, because there's always been haters and there's always been people with nasty comments like, oh, I'd kick his ass if I ever saw him. But now that's multiplied by such a number. Like, there's way too many crazy people for me to just be completely candid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's too many hateful people. And so to the people that really love me, I'm sorry to them that I can't be as open. I mean, I feel like I'm as open as I can be.
Do you look back now on the past with a certain sense of nostalgia?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I look back and I'm like, wow. You know, because his comment is right. I could be completely open with just about anything and never think twice about it, because who did I have to answer to, you know? Like, yeah, I got a million hits here and there, but it wasn't like every, like, I never thought the real media would pay me any attention.
But Chris, what we're all doing is the new real media.
Yeah, I mean, it changes everything. Like, I've even said to myself, like, I can't ever cry in public again. Like, if I'm ever seen crying on the street, if I ever get a phone call that someone I love is dead or something, you know what I mean? It really makes you think, like, I can't ever cry in public again, or I will be seen as, you know, me wanting attention again. I can't do certain things.
So you feel self-conscious about your emotions?
I feel self-conscious about my emotions, yes.
Puree Tofu from Raleigh, North Carolina. Early on, you wrote in your blog post that you believe that AIDS was created by the government as a form of population control.
Sure do.
Do you still believe that?
I sure do, yeah.
So you believe that it was a genetic experiment gone wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoke with my friends at length about this. You know, I think, like, I don't know exactly if it was aimed towards gay people or not, but I think that they were doing some experimenting, like, while the wars were going on and they wanted to create things for their enemies overseas or what have you. But they tested it on people, I think.
And it just,
that's what I think.
Okay.
To what benefit, though? I mean, it's you're killing your customers from Walmart.
True.
You know what I'm saying? It destabilizes your economy.
Right, then,
and at the end of the day, it hurts President George W. Bush's paycheck. So, honey, it's like he's not going to do anything to kill his own citizens.
I need some proof, Chris.
I need proof, Chris. I'm skeptical on that
okay,
one.
Okay, I got another question from Christian83 from Mannheim, Germany. He says, what are you doing besides crying and posting videos on YouTube?
Yeah, what do you do during while you're not talking to us and doing this to other stuff?
I'm usually shitting and not posting videos on YouTube.
So, like,
well, what do you do for fun, though? Come on. Do you go for bike rides, walks in the park, you know?
You know, lots of cries and meltdowns. I usually I love to listen to music and sing. I'm pretty boring. Like, really? Are you kidding? I don't do anything, really.
Well, what do you, because you're hanging out right now in your bedroom at home in Tennessee.
Right. I'm sitting here in my pajamas that say Big, Big Feet.
Oh.
And my, it's a hair flip t-shirt, and that's about it. Ellen's on.
Do you watching TV while you're doing this interview?
I'm not really watching it. Okay. Just on to fill the
air. You're watching her dance? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, Rocket Man from...
She actually has a phone to her ear, too, so...
She has a what?
Well, you know what's funny, Chris, is we have her on the other line.
Hi, this is Ellen. Hi, this is Ellen Leifen. Okay, Rocket Man from Chicago wants to know, where do you see all this leading to? Any possibilities for a book deal?
Book deal?
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like porno deal, book deal.
Oh, that's hot.
Will you do porn?
You know...
You've been offered.
I'm not going to say too much, but... do you guys know who Dylan Samuelson?
No, I don't.
I have no idea. The Dylan Samuelson.
Who is it?
He's a porn star that I'm in talks with.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say too much because we want that to be kind of surprising.
You're going to be the new Shishi LaRue. So Curtis from San Francisco wants to know how you felt about being a character on South Park.
I was honored. I thought that I should have gotten more airtime, but I was honored.
It'd be nice if you were a recurring character.
Right, I mean, I would think that the people at South Park would have favored me over the Chocolate Rain dude, but, I mean, really, I'm much more up their alley. He's boring.
Well, Chris Crocker, we love you so much, and I hope that whatever, wherever your dreams may be, whether it's being a porn star or putting out a fabulous album and having people want crying over your struggle with celebrity and drugs and
drug addictions and pregnancies
and your baby daddy and all that stuff. Whatever the road takes you, I hope that you are an inspiration to so many people, and I just want to say that because, you know, it never gets said enough.
Well, thank you very much.
We have a breakdown now for you. Hey, 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 it's the breakdown Chris Crocker style. 2008.
Yeah. So these are 20 questions, Chris. Just don't think about it. Just answer it. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Good answer. What is the best thing that happened to you recently?
Now that one I have to think about. I don't know. Everything's been kind of mediocre lately.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. How about coming on the Feast of Fools podcast?
This interview. Well,
so what's the worst thing that's happened to you recently?
Finding out that my mom just got beat up by two guys.
What?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. But how old is your mother and your dad?
My mom actually had me at 14 years old.
So your mother is 34 years old.
She's two years younger than me.
Because I'm having to, like, add here. I'm 20. She had me at 14.
If you were my son,
and how old
Chris,
your dad?
I would be so proud of you.
Well, thank you. If you were my dad, we'd be fucking. I don't know.
Because I was just like, your dad's a baby, too.
Yeah, your dad's really young,
or
too.
No, so I don't know.
My dad was 17, and my mom was 14.
Wow. Does he look like you?
Not at all. Yeah. My mom does.
Okay.
So your mom's the hot one.
Yeah.
How do you like your toast?
It's kind of brown.
Where do you feel most...
I don't know.
What? You're like, huh? Where do you feel most comfortable and happy?
Right after I've made a video.
What's a song you heard recently you really enjoyed?
Bum Like You by Robin. Mm-hmm.
What is the name and species of your favorite childhood pet?
What? I guess dog, and his name was Flash.
Oh, what's your best feature?
My eyes.
Where do you want to be in 5 years from now?
On a movie screen.
What's the biggest misconception people have about you?
That I don't put thought into... I mean, what is that quote by Dolly Parton? It's... Oh. What is that quote? It's like, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. Well, it takes a lot of thought to seem this dumb. So, you know.
I like that. Hold on, we got to write this. It takes a lot of thought to look this dumb? To sound this dumb.
Whatever.
So I'll rewind it and get that's a t-shirt quote, Chris.
What turns you on in another person?
Well, if we're talking sexually, are we talking like what are we?
Whatever called? You want to talk about, honey.
Well, I'm really turned on by body hair.
Really?
So I don't like too much, but if it's just enough, oh my God. Are you kidding?
Oh, I love it. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I want to change something about myself.
If you could.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy. I'd like a bigger ass.
Do squats. That'll help you with that.
Who made a difference in your life?
My grandmother.
What makes you mad?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump makes you mad?
Yeah.
Okay. How should we get out of debt?
How should we get out of debt? You should make videos crying about celebrities and then get paid for it.
Okay. If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
I stink.
What is your greatest weakness?
My sexual appetite. It
really?
Gets really bad. Yeah, I go to porn theaters, glory holes.
That's hot. Really?
What? Yeah. Wow. It's like LA
bathhouses.
It's the one thing that I just give into.
So, like, where are some ones that you hang out at? So if we want to get a blowjob from Chris Crocker, we can just go hang out and, you know.
it used to be called the Tomcat in Hollywood, but now it's called Studs.
Okay.
Well, right. Is that because it's in Hollywood? Do a lot of celebrities go there to get blowjobs?
You know what they do.
Woo!
So who famous have you blown?
Or have heard about being blown?
Nobody, but I just heard one of the guys from 3-6 Mafia was there.
Mm-hmm.
They won an Oscar, so I mean that's kind of cool. What is that?
So you can give Oscar-winning blowjobs. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll send you some passes to Steamworks so you can go and have sex in the bathhouses. And so if you're ever in Seattle, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, well, not New York, I'm sorry, Toronto.
I've
never been to a bathhouse. I want to.
Well, it'll be a good experience for you.
Okay. Now, what do you play any musical instruments?
My dick.
What are you doing after the taping of this show?
I'm supposed to do an upcoming commercial, so I have to call them about a commercial.
A commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a hint of what the product you're selling?
No, I can't. It's all very hush-hush.
It's Comet Cleanser, isn't it?
It is.
as a douche.
I'm doing Betty Crocker commercial.
What happens to us when we die, Chris?
We all watch me on YouTube.
Is that heaven or hell?
Yeah.
Whatever you need it to be.
Chris, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you guys.
We absolutely think the world of you.
It's so nice to not be interviewed by a straight person for once in a while.
I guess that is sort of weird, isn't it?
God, it's annoying.
We can imagine.
Who's the worst person that interviewed you?
Oh, fucking hell. It was some bitch from Fox News. I mean,
was she angry at you for being gay?
No, not that bitch. This other guy, he was from Fox News. He's actually one of the really well-known anchors. I forget his name, and
nobody knows who he is, but
right. And he had a radio show, and I just hung up on him. So
why? What did he say?
I forget. He was just really. I mean, it's okay to joke here and there. Yeah, I get the video. It's funny, but he was just a bitch. I don't remember. I just hung up on him.
Well, I always find it interesting that when you get interviewed, one of the common questions they try to do to discredit you is by challenging how much money you're making at this.
Really? Has anyone asked me that?
I don't know if they've asked you that, but I've noticed that when I've observed people being, and ourselves being asked that.
Internet people, they're always like, like when Perez was on The View, they're like, are you making any money? Are you making any money?
Part of it is that we're doing this because we can be masters of our own domain, in a sense.
Exactly, and not just that, but it's like if I really wanted the money, all I'd have to do is throw on a garter belt and stick my thumb out. What do you mean? You know? There's as long as there's a street, there's always money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the title of the show, I think it's going to be, As Long As There's a Street.
Chris, thank you so much, sweetie.
Thank you, guys.
It's been a pleasure. When you come to Chicago, look us up, okay?
Okay, kisses and cum shots.
Chris Crocker's videos can be seen on YouTube's own channel. You can learn more about Chris Crocker by visiting our website, feastoffools.net. He lives in Los Angeles, California.
And Tennessee, I guess.
And he's coming out with an album, so when he comes out with it, we'll play it on the show. Cool. I bet it will be fantastic.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
Britney Spears will finally be left alone.
Because everybody will be listening to Chris's music.
And remember that the Feast of Fools today was brought to you by generous support of listeners like you.
And also by Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión, Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you, Chris Crocker.
Mm-hmm. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that special discount. And please remember,
Play hard, play smart. And by smart mean use a condom.
Yes.
And play hard meaning enjoy yourself.
Or don't use a condom if you're practicing other safe sex. You can masturbate somebody without using a condom. You know?
Well, I think when they mean use a condom, they're talking about anal sex.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Because nobody uses a condom to masturbate.
Well, I know, but what if you're watching other people have... I don't know. It's you a bathhouse. I don't know what's going on.
That's a terrible joke.
Maybe you're just watching somebody, you know?
There you go. What are your thoughts about Chris Crocker and his celebrity and his opinions on hating and gay culture and HIV and AIDS and straight people? Are straight people just a myth? Is gay AIDS is AIDS created by our government to control our population?
Is it 15 minutes of fame or
15,
because it's
feels
on the
like
internet
years.
Will it come on, be there forever and ever?
It will be further. Is heaven going to be Chris Crocker's videos or is it going to be hell?
All these and more. I want to remind people too that we do have a Twitter account. Follow us on Feast of Fools or twitter.com/feastoffools to get up to the minute details on what we do to bring this show from our hearts to your ears. And if you want something a little more outrageous, subscribe to twitter.com/insults and you can get daily insults text message to you.
Never miss a single podcast. We have fabulous interviews with some of the most incredible GLBTQ and straight people that that sort of inspire us, inform us, and illuminate our own reality, our own existence. You never miss a Feast of Fools podcast. Just subscribe to us on the iTunes Music Store.
And we do a lot of regular shows, too, where we just sit around and talk about odd news and social trends and gay life in general. And you can get with us on Facebook and MySpace.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye.
Bye.
The world is in love with you in the big gay paradise valley. In the big gay paradise valley, the highest compliment is fag. The trannies all are talented, and not just men in drag. Oh, the difference between gay and straight is about two or three beers. There's a lake of poppers and a lake of booze. You can walk across them both in your camper shoes. In the big gay paradise valley, take what you please from the cocaine trees. There's no such thing as STDs in the big gay paradise valley.